Blessed are the saints who render faithful services of love to the Lord's dear little children as they see those things above. As your bread upon the waters, never asking if it pays, God has promised to return it to you after many days. Blessed are they who go preaching without price, but trusting God, teaching as if the apostles walking in.
Now look at a subject that I have on my mind. I hope the Lord's in the arrangements. I remember I was here with you just visiting on Easter Sunday. I believe it was the first Sunday in April. And on Easter Sunday, Will preached a very able sermon on the doctrine of the resurrection. And the doctrine of the resurrection is a very crucial and important doctrine to us primitive Baptists, because the scripture says if there be no resurrection, then our faith is vain and we might as well just close up and go home if there's no resurrection of the body. While the resurrection is an important doctrine, and we certainly hold to it and believe it and preach it every week, because that's why we meet on Sunday, is because Christ was raised again on the first day of the week. That's why we don't meet on the Saturday Sabbath. We meet on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. While it is an important doctrine, one you don't hear preached about much is this one that I'm going to preach to you a little bit about this morning, and that's the ascension of Christ. To me, the doctrine of the resurrection is a great subject to think about what it's going to be like in the future. what it's going to be like when Christ comes again and we go to heaven. But the ascension is something that we can think about that's good for what we do every day, what we do every week. We need to know something about what occurred when Christ went out to that little town west of Jerusalem, to Bethany, after he had spent some 40 days with his apostles and his disciples, and he went up into heaven. He ascended from this earth, defying gravity, went up into heaven. Now, we didn't need to know what the scriptures have to say about that ascension and why it was that Christ went up. You know, after Christ was arisen from the grave, there were many that witnessed his resurrected body. There was all the apostles, there was Mary, there was a number of people that witnessed him after he rose from the grave. But you know, he was only here upon the earth for 40 days after his resurrection when he ascended. So there were a few witnesses. Those witnesses know that he rose again because they saw him. We believe that he rose again by faith. We believe it because God has planted within us the Spirit of God that gives us faith in what His Word says, that Jesus actually rose again. But after He left up into heaven, He has never been seen, except He was seen by the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus as He appeared to Paul. He was seen also by Ananias, the preacher that went and preached to Paul and baptized him. When Jesus appeared to Ananias and told him to go down and to preach the gospel to Saul. Now Ananias was not too excited about that particular appointment to go preach to Paul, because Paul was a pretty awful character to the Christians and to the church. And Ananias wasn't too sure about going to preach. But he told him, said, go and preach the gospel to Paul. Now, and at one time, the scriptures say that he was seen of above 500 people at once. So after that, Christ has not been seen. Why? Because he went out to a little town just west of Jerusalem called Bethany, where he ascended up into heaven. Now we're going to take a look at several scriptures that talk about that, and we'll begin with our text, which is found in the book of Acts. Now the book of Acts was written, I believe, by Luke, the writer of Luke's gospel. You say, well, why do you say that? Because of the way it starts. It starts here in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So here, whoever the writer was of the book of Acts says, first of all, he wrote a book previously. And then he addressed the fact that he wrote a book previously to Theophilus, who we know nothing about. He's only mentioned as twice here and in the book of Acts itself. So he, in the book of Luke itself, well, Luke also addresses Theophilus. Now, I suppose Theophilus was some educated theologian who was a Christian of the day. And so Luke was writing to him. And we know from that writing right there that that former treatise or book that he said he made had to be the book of Luke that Luke wrote, O Theophilus, and he wrote it of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, you see, until the day that he was taken up into heaven. So there is a reference there to the ascension of Christ. Until the day that he was taken up into heaven, Luke is saying, I wrote a book about all that Jesus did in all of his earthly ministry while he was here upon this earth until the day that he was taken up into heaven. Yes, he ascended. He was taken up. And that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after Jesus was resurrected, he spent 40 days with his apostles and his disciples, and after that 40 days he went out to Bethany, where he arose from the grave. Now we want to take a look at several things that the scriptures will tell us about the ascension. And what I want to say, I want us to keep this in mind as we go through these scriptures and see about Christ ascending up into heaven. That's where Jesus is at right this very minute. He's seated there in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. If I do any preaching this morning, it's because Jesus is blessing me with his spirit to speak in his name. If Brother Will is speaking down at Old Canoochee Church, is doing any preaching this morning, it's because God or Jesus from heaven is blessing him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now the gospel is simple. It's simply this. And you haven't preached the gospel unless you've said this. The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was taken down from the cross and buried in Joseph's borrowed tomb there in outside the city walls of Jerusalem, and that on the third day he arose from that according to the scriptures, arose from the grave, and as I said, spent 40 days before he ascended up into heaven. We'll find a reference to Jesus' ascension in the Old Testament, penned down by David, King David himself, the apple of God's eye, the scripture says, of David. But David wrote this in the book of Psalms about the ascension of Christ. He says in verse 18 of chapter 68, he said, Thou hast ascended on high. Who is ascended on high? Jesus. Jesus the Lord. Now here, David was penning before he ever ascended, before he was ever born, before he ever came there and born in Bethlehem, before he was ever crucified on the cross at Calvary. Here's David says, Thou hast ascended on high. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he's ascended. He's in heaven. He's ruling and reigning over his triumphant kingdom, even at this very hour and this very minute in which we are meeting together this morning. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily daily loadeth us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He is he that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Yes, He is the God of our salvation. He is the one that rescued us and quickened us and gave us eternal life by His grace, not by anything that you have done or anything that I have done, not by anything that I have said about anything that I have preached, not about any, not by anything that anybody else has preached, regardless of what they claim. There's some worldwide evangelists that may claim there's tens of thousands in heaven because of their preaching here in the world. No, I'm telling you, there's going to be thousands and thousands and tens of thousands, an innumerable host in heaven and immortal glory, not because of the first preached gospel, not because anybody preached it here on earth, but because Christ came. He came and He paid the sin debt. He came at the command of God the Father, and He did the work that God the Father sent Him to do, and He finished that work, and He is there right now at the right hand of the throne of God, where He ascended. Yes, David says, "Thou hast ascended on high." Yes, He did indeed ascend up into heaven. Now, you know, most of the gospel writers record at the end His ascension. And we want to take a look at some of them at the end of the Gospel of Mark. Each one of them have a little different way of putting it. And I think it's important that we know what the difference is in the way that they put it. Mark here began at verse 15, and he said this, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now some people call this the Great Commission. The Great Commission was a command from God to go out and to preach the gospel. Now some primitive Baptists think that all of this was only to the apostles. I somewhat disagree with that, or else why am I here? Why did I come down here? I came here to preach the gospel. I'm doing just exactly as that said. I'm following the leadership of the Holy Spirit to go and preach where the Lord leads me. And so if that's only for the apostles, then maybe I shouldn't go and preach the gospel. I don't feel led to go and preach it in China, but maybe the Lord will lay it on my heart to go preach it in China someday. I don't know. But wherever the Lord leads me, wherever the Lord impresses me to go and to preach the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ and His finished work, I ought to go. Go, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then he said, what does he mean by that, shall be damned? He means a child of God that has been born of the Spirit and feels the weight and the burden of his sin and does not know that it's been paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross can be convicted and feel damned in his heart. He'll feel like he's going to hell because of that sin that's in his life. If he knows and he hears the gospel of what Jesus has done for him, he can be relieved of that guilt because Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Then down in verse 19 it says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now that's what Mark says about the ascension ascension. But it's interesting the way he puts it. He said Jesus was received up into heaven. Now, what does that indicate to me? What should that indicate to you, that he was received? The heaven is the residing place of God the Father. That's where God the Father lives. I know God the Father, our God, is an omnipresent God, which means He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. He's everywhere. But His residing place is heaven. And so here's God the Father sitting there in heaven, and Jesus ascending, and He was received. That indicates to me that God the Father, who sent Jesus Christ to this earth to finish the work for redemption of all that God the Father had given to Him in a covenant of grace, that He finished and completed that work that God the Father sent Him to do. And God the Father was ready to receive Him, to take His right hand, to take His seat at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, that's the most exalted place a person could be, seated at the right hand of God the Father. So here, Mark records for us, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now that's what I was talking about right there. There it is. So they went and preached everywhere. And they didn't go and preach on their own. They didn't go and preach their own doctrine. They didn't go and preach what they thought about it. They worked and they preached as the Lord worked with them. That's one of the things that Jesus is doing right there at the right hand of the throne of God. He's blessing men ministers to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There it is. They went forth. They preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Yes, He was received up into heaven, according to what Mark had to say about it there. Received up into heaven itself. Now we want to turn over to the book of Luke. Luke also records the ascension of Jesus. And we'll begin there at verse 46. And it's down to 51, but we'll begin at 46. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send you the promise of My Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as to, and they led him out as far as to Bethany. And He lifted him, and they lifted up their hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now, you know, that's different. One said He was received up into heaven. That means God the Father accepted His work. This said He was carried up into heaven. Now, I don't want to cast any reflection on that old song, I'll Fly Away. It's a good song. If you sing it, keep singing it. We have a deacon in the Crossroads Church. He's a pilot, and he loves to fly. And he loves that song, and he'll call it out every time, I'll Fly Away. But there's only one thing about it. We're not going to sprout wings and fly anywhere on that day. We're going to be carried there to heaven. That's the way we're going. We're going to be carried there by the power of God. There's going to be no flying. Of course, we're going to defy gravity the way He ascended. We're going up to meet the Lord in the air, but it's not I don't think it's going to be any flying as the song indicates. And this says it the way it is. And as he parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Yes, he was carried up into heaven there according to Luke. Now we want to turn over here to the book of John, where we'll find that it says here that Jesus indeed went back to where he was before. In other words, when Jesus ascended, he simply went to where he was when he left the side of God the Father and came to this earth to do the work that God the Father had sent him here to do. So we'll find here in verse 62, it says, before this was spoken, Jesus was talking to them about his body and about his blood. And he confused them, and they didn't understand what he said. He was talking about, you must eat my flesh, you must drink my blood. And they, just like all of us, maybe sometimes when you're being taught a spiritual lesson, you think naturally. They were thinking he meant they must slice off a part of his arm and eat his flesh. Or they thinking he must bleed in a cup and drink his blood. But that's not what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about our natural bodies eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He was talking about our spiritual man feeding upon that body that was necessary to redeem us from our sin. And that's what we get here when the gospel is preached unto us. We get the feeling that that body was good. That body was, the scripture describes it as without sin. That scripture describes it to be perfect in every way, as far as there was no sin found in him, no guile was found in his mouth. The scripture said he was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled, he was separate from sinners. So the spiritual man must feed on those things, because that's what it took to redeem us from our sin. It took the body of Jesus, that perfect body, that perfect flesh. It took that sacrifice to redeem us. And that's what feeds us, the spiritual being that God has placed within us. And when he talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, they got all confused, and they said about these things, said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And then many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" And then in verse 62, he said this, "And what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" There it is, ascension. Jesus ascended up to where he was before he came to this earth to do the work of the Father, to redeem all that God the Father had given to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. So he went right back up, ascended right back up to where he was. And now we want to turn over another scripture in the Gospel of John that tells us that Jesus when he ascended up into heaven, he ascended unto the Father. Well, now if he ascended up into heaven and he ascended up into the Father, that gives me evidence that that heaven is the residence of God. That's where God the Father is. God the Father is there in heaven. And when Jesus ascended, he ascended unto the Father. We'll find that in John chapter 21. We'll begin there at verse 11. It says, but Mary stood without the sepulchre. Now Mary had gone down to the sepulchre to find Jesus and to anoint his body. And Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and went in. And then she saw two angels in the sepulchre in white, sitting in the sepulchre, one at the head where Jesus' head would have been, the other at the foot where Jesus' feet would have been, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, because they have taken my Lord. I know not where they have laid him. Well, you see, Mary loved the Lord, but she didn't remember that he said he was going to rise again the third day. Here she was in the sepulchre after the third day looking for the body of Jesus that had been laid in the grave. And they said, ask her who she was looking for. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was him. Now here's Mary. That's one of those that I said before that saw the resurrected body of Jesus. She looked back. She saw it was Jesus. She didn't recognize it to be Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. Now I don't know why Jesus didn't recognize his voice when he said that other to her. Whom seekest thou? She didn't recognize the voice of Jesus. But as soon as Jesus said, Mary, she recognized, that's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when she said, Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And then Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go ye into my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father. Yes, that's who he ascends to. He's going to ascend to the Father. I like this scripture. I ascend unto my Father and to your Father. What a great thought that is. He ascended unto the Father. It was also your Father. And then he says, and I ascend unto my God and to your God, the Father and God of Jesus Christ, our Savior, is our Father, is our God. And that's who Jesus ascended to when he ascended. He ascended up unto the Father. Yes, what a great thought it is that Jesus ascended up unto the Father. Now we want to turn over to the book of Ephesians, and we'll find that the scripture that tells us here, he ascended up on high. And here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, we'll begin there at verse 4 and read down. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye have called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but upon every every one of us is given peace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, there it is, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. You know, that's the almost the same scripture over there that I quoted from Psalms that David said. He ascended up on high. He led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended. In other words, he was in heaven, he descended, he came to earth. He did the work of God the Father. He redeemed all that God the Father gave to him. Then he ascended up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some, and these are the gifts he gave. He gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, he gave some pastors and teachers. You know, after Jesus was crucified and they were preaching his resurrection, they did everything to stop that. They did everything in Jerusalem to squash that message. They wanted everybody to think Jesus was dead and that was the end of him. Here it is over 2,000 years ago, and I'm standing up here preaching to you, and you're all enjoying it because you believe it in your heart. And the reason you believe it in your heart is because God and Jesus is in control. Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus is there ruling and reigning. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. They tell me, some religious leaders tell me, that Jesus is coming someday, and he's going to set up his throne in Jerusalem, in the natural Jerusalem, and rule and reign for 1,000 years. I hate to tell them, but Jesus has already ascended. He's already taken up his throne. He's already seated there in heaven. He's already ruling and reigning over his triumphant church, which are all of his children, in all the churches, in all the world, an innumerable host that no man can number. We don't know how many there are, but God knows every last one of them. I'm telling you, and Jesus is seated there at the right hand of the throne of God, ever ruling and reigning over them. And I believe God has a triumphant kingdom which includes them all. But I also believe that he has a visible kingdom, of which I believe Macedonia is a part of that visible kingdom of God. A place where the children of God, while they live here in time, can gather themselves and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You know, a lot of people worship the Lord in spirit, but very few worship him in spirit and in truth. And you know, when I came to that knowledge that where I was at, and you know, my trials and travels through this thing wasn't easy. I was just a regular Armenian Baptist, and then we called a new pastor one time, and he came. He believed in predestination. He believed in election. He read all the Bible, so he got to preaching from the Book of Acts and the Book of Romans, and he caused the church to split. A big missionary Baptist church up in Dalton, Georgia, caused it to split right down the middle because some of those deacons wanted to fire him for preaching predestination and election and those things. So they split it down the middle. We went and constituted a new church, called it a Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church. That was fine. They believed all the doctrines that I just mentioned, but they put a special special twist on it. They said, and God is using the gospel. He sends the gospel out to every last one that He elected and chose, and they accept, and they're saved because God chose them, and they heard the gospel and responded. Well, you know, it wasn't long after that that I found out that's not true. It's only those that already are alive that hear and understand the gospel. They don't hear the gospel in order to be made alive. If you're not alive, there's no response. There's no response on the part of the dead. People ask me, what's the difference in regular Baptists and primitive Baptists? I remember I used to say, well, we believe in salvation by grace and grace alone. Not many of them will ever say, we believe, most of them will always say, well, we believe that too. And they do. They believe in grace. They think they do, but they don't know what grace is. So I always hone it down this way. What's the difference in other Baptists and primitive Baptists? We believe that there must be life before there's any action. And that's simply, that's a simple thing to understand. You go out to the graveyard somewhere in this county and you look at it. If you see any activity in the graveyard, I can assure you it's from the living. There may be someone out there placing roses on their grandmother's grave. There may be somebody out there with a weed eater trimming around the grave. There may be some work they're doing out there to make the graveyard look better, cutting the grass or whatever it is. But there is no activity among those that are in the grave. You say, well, Brother Heron, hadn't you heard about ghosts? Well, I don't believe in ghosts. And I don't believe there's any activity on the part of anybody in the graveyard. It's the living that have any activity. It's the same way spiritually. If you're dead in trespasses and in sin, there simply is no activity in a spiritual realm from your nature. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Heron? Because the scripture say, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. Now that says he cannot even know them. You could talk to him till you blew in the face. He cannot know them. That means he has not the ability to know them. You must have life. God must first give you life. God reached down when you were dead in trespasses and in sin and quickened you and gave you life, and then you started thinking about the things of God. Then you started thinking about Jesus and who He was, and only then did it happen. So here, Jesus ascended up on high. It says here in the book of Ephesians, let's read some of this in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. There's one body, one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But upon every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. We were talking about those gifts. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And I believe that pastors and teachers are one and the same. That's not talking about Sunday school teachers. That's pastors and teachers. In other words, if a man is a pastor, he ought to be apt to teach the scriptures to the congregation. Some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what those gifts are for. That's what they were given for. Now turning over, we'll find in the book of Hebrews, it says, here in a scripture. In verse 14 of chapter 4, it says that he was passed into heaven. When Jesus ascended, he was passed up into heaven. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's another reason, that's another thing Jesus is doing there at the right hand of God. He's interceding for each and every one of you. You can go to him in prayer. He doesn't take vacation. He's not off for the weekend. He's there 24/7, always ready. You say, well, Brother Heron, there's so many of God's children in the world that probably right this very minute are praying to God, praying to Jesus. How can Jesus intercede for them? Look like the line would be backed up so far back that he'd never get around to hearing all of them. No, he hears them all, and he hears them all at the same time if they're all speaking at the same time. Jesus is there interceding in behalf of you and me each and every day that we live. And I can give you lots of examples, and you can probably think of examples in your own life when you were rescued from something by the Lord. You know, we don't realize it. We don't even know it. But there's lots of times, and it may even been this morning, we may have been delivered from some tragic accident this morning because of the intervention of the Lord. Otherwise, we might have been involved in a head-on collision and not made it. We don't know all that the Lord is doing for us, but he's seated there at the right hand of God, ever ready to make intercession for us. And he's leading and directing. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. He is a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Why? Because he went through the same thing in the body that he took from the Virgin Mary when he was here upon this earth. He went through all the trials and troubles and tribulations that we face. Yet he did it without sin. And so he is one that can be touch with the feelings of our infirmities, and we can go to him boldly under the throne of grace and speak to him, because he is indeed our Savior. Now we want to turn over to the Hebrews a little further, and it says that he entered into heaven for us. Now isn't that something? Jesus ascended. He ascended unto the Father, and he entered into heaven for us. There is a scripture where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I go you cannot know. And he said, this place I go to prepare for you, I will come again and take you there with me, that you can be there with me. It's heaven. It's a place that God resides. It's a place that we'll see one day ourselves. But here in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it tells us that Jesus went to heaven for us. It says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. And what he's talking about there is Christ is not entered into the temple where they gathered together and made blood sacrifices unto the Lord. That was a type and a shadow of the true. That was a type and a shadow of heaven itself. So Christ is not entered into those holy places, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for, and I like this part of that scripture, for us. Think about that. Christ is entered. He's ascended. He's went to heaven for us. He intercedes. He's that
mediator between a just and holy God, the Father, and a fallen, sinful creatures that we are. He entered into heaven for us. For us. Yes, and he's there right now. Yes, he is there as the Savior of sinners. And then in 1 Peter here, in this particular portion of 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter is talking about baptism and what baptism is. And he says this about baptism. Baptism is not for the putting away of the filth of the flesh. You know, there's groups of people that will teach their congregations that you got to be baptized, washed in water in order to go to heaven. No, baptism is not for the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It is the answer of a good conscience toward God. It is you whom God has given life to, given eternal life by His grace, coming forward and saying, yes, I believe that Jesus died, that He was buried, and that He arose again. That's what baptism represents. When you take somebody and you baptize them, what do? They hold their breath. Because you're going to put them on the water. If they don't hold their breath, they're going to get a little water in their lungs. They hold their breath. What does that represent? Death. When you're not breathing, you're dead. You're dead. So that represents death. And then you immerse them under the water. That's why immersion is the only mode of baptism. You immerse them under the water. What is that? That's burial. That's the burial of Jesus in the tomb. And then you bring them up out of the water. What is that? That's the resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then you receive a new way to walk following after Jesus in His visible kingdom. And the only way to get into the visible kingdom is to submit yourself for baptism. And it's the greatest thing in the world. Not only to be in that triumphant kingdom that Christ is ruling and reigning over because you're a child of God, but to be serving Him in time while you live here in the visible kingdom of God. And everyone that's a member of the visible kingdom and serving the Lord, you're doing as you should. Everyone that's not in the visible kingdom of God, you should do it. You should join yourself to the church. Spend your life in the service of the Lord. One other scripture here, and Peter, he was talking about baptism and what it was. He said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 22, he said, who is gone into heaven. That's what Jesus is at. He's gone. He's in heaven. He's gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Yes, Jesus ascended up into heaven. And I'll add this one thing before I summarize what we've gone over this morning. Jesus is also going to leave that place where He is one day. He's coming down from heaven. He's not coming down to set foot on this earth. He's not coming down to become the king in a kingdom in Jerusalem here upon this earth. That was a type of the new Jerusalem. That was a type of heaven. Israel was a type of God's spiritual Israel. The nation Israel, let me say that again. The nation Israel was a type and a shadow of spiritual Israel. Who is spiritual Israel, Brother Harry? All that God the Father chosen, elected, and a covenant of grace before the world was, and gave to his son all that his son left heaven and came here and went to the cross for, and redeemed and saved on the cross. Every last one of them were saved when Jesus redeemed them on the cross. So we know that that Jesus is coming again. He's leaving that throne. He's not going to set foot here. He's going to raise those that are in the graves first. They're going to be changed from that corruptible to an incorruptible. And then there's going to be some that are alive and remain. They're coming forth. Those that are alive and remain are coming forth. They're going to be changed from this mortal to an immortal. Where we're going up for the greatest marriage ceremony that's ever occurred. The marriage of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to his bride, his triumphant church that God the Father gave to him. And we're all then going to heaven to be with Jesus. How long? Eternally. I can't tell you how long. How long is eternal? Eternal doesn't have any end. It's forever and forever and forever and forever. Yes, Jesus ascended. And even as the writer of Luke said, until the day in which Jesus was taken up, Jesus indeed ascended. We saw that the scripture said, he ascended on high. He led captivity captive. We saw a scripture that said he was received into heaven, indicating that God the Father accepted the work that he'd done. We saw that he was carried up into heaven. That's how we're going to get there. We're going to be carried by the very power of God itself. He ascended up to where he was before. He was in heaven before he came here. And he's ascended up to where he was before he came to this earth. He ascended unto the Father. God the Father's residing place is heaven. And he ascended up there to heaven, to God the Father. He was taken up in a cloud. He was received up into a cloud. And I can remember when I was in Jerusalem and we went out to Bethany and they said, this is the place where Jesus ascended. I can remember just being over there by myself and just imagining what it would have been like to have been here to see Jesus ascend from the earth, defy gravity, and be received up into a cloud. Yes, he was received up into a cloud. And not only that, they said, and the angel then appeared, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who went up and was received in a cloud is coming again in like manner unto this earth. Yes, he's coming again the same way he went up as he was received up into a cloud. He ascended up on high in Ephesians and says he was ascended as in Psalms. He ascended on high. He led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto man. He was passed into the heavens. He entered into the heavens for us. And yes, he is gone into heaven. And as we serve him in this world, let's just remember each and every day that we live, Jesus is there, looking out, watching out for me, each individual, one of his children, is there watching out for you. And one day, you're going to go to heaven to be with him, because he's gone there to prepare a place for you. The ascension of Jesus, an essential doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer.
To leave my dear friends and from labors depart and go from my home with the face of my heart. Like thoughts of ascending myself for a day from breathless sweet Yeah.